Hey, and welcome to the special Nintendo Land review segment in which Patrick, Andy, Scott, and I will argue about
hey,
the score of the
what
review,
about me?
And Mike's going to loiter around. I mean,
that's cold, Neil.
This is a special Kinectabyte, ideally. We'll see if that actually happens. That will go up alongside our Nintendo Land review, which is a joint effort between me, Patrick, Andy, and Scott. And then Mike's hanging out.
I'm just hanging out.
Yeah. But yeah, so we all played a bunch of Nintendo Land. What do we all think? Let's start with our guest, Mike.
This game I was not initially that excited about it, but I figured, well, I'm getting it with the console, so, you know, I mean, it gives me something to play until I get some more games for it. I actually really super, super like Nintendo Land. I didn't
it's
think
so
I would.
Good.
Because I thought all the, like, I thought it was going to be very much more Wii Sports, where, you know, all the experiences are there, but they're not really completely fully fleshed out. They're, like, some of them are half-baked, especially, like, the boxing thing on Wii Sports. Like, did anyone really play that past, like, the
nope.
first weekend? But, yeah, so it wasn't really fleshed out. And I guess there's some problems with Nintendo Land games not being fully fleshed out as well, but the difference is that there are 12 of them. So a couple of them can be duds, and it does not matter. There are at least probably four games in here that I probably will rarely ever play, except maybe just to, you know, complete them out and, like, get the gold trophies for them, maybe. But after that, I doubt I'll play them. I might not even. Octopus Dance is, like, boring.
I played Octopus Dance during an attraction tour, and both my friend and I who was playing it with me, we were just like, nope. Never gonna play that again.
Yeah, yeah. Octopus Dance is probably the worst defender, but
and a lot of the problems with the single player games is that, like, they don't save your progress, so it's kind of like one and done. So it makes them a high score games, but it's brutal when it's like, you know, I get to like the fucking 10th level of Yoshi's Fruit Cart, and then I die, and I was like, I need to replay all of what I already did.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, there should be milestones for, like, Yoshi, like, every 10 levels or something, or for Donkey Kong, like, once I get through, at least once I finish the second stage, you should at least let me start from the second stage.
Yeah.
It's even worse for me where I'm, like, on the fourth stage now. That's, like, about 10 to 15 minutes of progress.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's, like, it got to the point where I beat the first Donkey Kong level and didn't realize there was another level, let alone four.
But, yeah, so to finish out my thoughts, the day I got the system, I ended up actually going over to two of my friends' houses just for different things, and I was like, well, I'll bring it with me. one of them was for my friend's, like, kind of birthday-ish get-together. Like, it wasn't his actual birthday. It was, like, the day when all the couples with the kids come over and hang out. which was actually the perfect venue to try out Nintendo Land, because everyone's, like, in their, like, late 20s or mid-20s, maybe, and we all played games growing up, so it's like, oh, now we can play video games, which is great.
I think the one thing with Nintendo Land, and you kind of touch on something that I've been thinking about a lot, too, is that while Wii Sports was kind of, like, for everyone, Nintendo Land seems to be for, like, anyone who has played a video game when they were a child.
Yeah, it's for, you know, honestly, I think it probably appeals more to the older gamer, like, around my age, than it will to, like, an 18-year-old gamer.
Yeah.
Even if that 18-year-old gamer is a diehard Nintendo fan, he's, like, he wasn't around to, like, play Mario and Metroid and stuff on the original NES, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those games, we played a lot of the multiplayer games, and we had a blast with basically all of them. Like, I'm trying to think of any of them really aren't that good. We really liked the Pikmin game. We played the Zelda game, but it was later and only, like, two player. The Metroid game, me and two of my friends, we only had two Motion Plus remotes with us, so it was just me on the gamepad and two of my friends doing it. We made it through level 10, which is where you beat Kraid.
I need to play more of that one.
It's so good. The game is so deep. Like, fighting Kraid took a while, and we, like, had to really coordinate because one of the targets is way up high and only the guy in the ship can get to it. So you have to coordinate and make sure you do all these things in sequence in order to beat him, which is really
awesome.
Cool. So that game is especially deep. Like, we only beat the first 10 levels, and I'm like...
Because, what are there? Are there 16 or 20 in that?
I'm not sure, but I'm itching to have them back over my place because I want to finish that sucker.
I think you could do it single player, but it would probably be a bitch.
It's not as fun. It was way more fun multiplayer.
That's what happened to me is I was burning through Pikmin Adventure, and I really enjoyed that. But when I got to the later levels, it just gets really, really hard because it's just like you and an AI Pikmin. And it gets really, really difficult.
Pikmin was really fun. I played that with three people, so it was four of us total. The best part about Pikmin is that, like, all your friends are, like, beating stuff up, and you're like, no, I control you, and you hit the button and you zap them all back, and they're all like, what the fuck, dude?
Well, if you shake your remote, you can try to get out of it.
But But you get sucked pretty far before you can get out of
it.
Yeah. Though it is really useful for like, oh my god, bomb, and I can hit the button and return them all back to me and keep them all safe, which is actually like a really good way to communicate in that game. So Pikmin's pretty fun. But the Metroid game was probably my favorite of the co-op games, and then of the competitive games, we had a blast with all three of them. Mario Chase is good, especially because
we had
a lot of...
I think Mario Chase is my favorite overall.
I think that's the weakest for me.
Wow.
We had a couple little kids over, between 8 and 12 or something, so they were playing that too, and they could play it pretty much just as well as we could. Maybe not quite as well, but they could keep up with it, basically. So that was a really good game in that regard. I really liked the Luigi game.
Yeah, all three of those are excellent.
But our favorite was Animal Crossing Sweet Day. Just because, the way the map expands out on the gamepad when you're playing it is so cool looking.
Yeah.
It's just it just keeps shifting and growing, and so you can see both of your guards. So it's really fun. Plus, it's probably the hardest of the three. I don't know. The Luigi one might be harder, but Sweet Day is difficult enough in that you have to coordinate and try and get an even fruit distribution, or you can try and have one guy get a lot because if you have three people like we did, you can just, have the other two get a little, and then the one guy can just try and avoid the guards and get a lot.
Yeah. I do love the frantic thing of just running past another person, you're not sure who it is, just being like, hey, you, elephant, come over here.
Yeah,
I don't know
who
this is.
Get on this pad with me.
Yeah.
But the best part about Sweet Day, because the guards, the player at the guards is at a real disadvantage in some regard, because you have to have super focus and you have to be able to multitask if you really want to succeed as the guards, which is, I think, what makes it the most difficult for at least the person on the gamepad, is that you are, you're going nuts. You have to keep an eye on two things, and you have to independently move two guys, and it's very easy to accidentally just start moving them both in the same direction, and you have to avoid doing that.
Well, what I always do in that is that I basically take two of them and try to corner one person.
Yeah.
I don't really, I'll usually expand in the beginning and then kind of focus in on one person or a group of people and try to head them off.
Yeah, and then the other great thing about Animal Crossing Sweet Day is, since if you play with at least two or three people, I don't know, you can pick up and drop the candy.
Yeah.
And that's the best part, is when you've got this giant egghead full of candy and you see the guard and you're just frantically hitting the one button to vomit up all of your candy so you can run away, and it just looks so funny.
Just the design of everything in the game across every attraction is freaking awesome. I love even... For the F-Zero game, when it's your me and the Captain Falcon pose, it gets me every time. When I a couple friends over and we all played that, and just seeing everyone's me just in that cocky Captain Falcon leaning, ready to race pose.
I love the look of the Battle Quest game. I really love the look of it kind of reminds me of Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Like the tunics and everything. Like it's
and
very,
the battle damage.
Yeah. Where it gets split and stuffing's coming out. I really love that. It's a really nice touch.
Yeah, so if I had to, just to summary it up, I guess, to say my three favorites would probably be for the co-op, Metroid, for the competitive, Animal Crossing, and for the single player, definitely Donkey Kong Crash Course. Which I'm sure we'll talk about a lot, since I think it's Neil's favorite, too.
Well, I it's the one I've spent the most time with. I don't know if I'd say it's my favorite. I kind of hate it at this point because of how frustrating it is. Because with Crash Course, so I had a couple friends over on Sunday night, and... we played a lot of, the three competitive games. We played a little bit of Battle Quest. They didn't really get into Metroid too much, it's hard to get
all
into.
All the people who are in the room need to want to play it.
Yeah.
It's not light at all.
But we played a lot of competitive stuff, and all three of those games are friggin' excellent. And then we ended up playing Crash Course for probably an hour and a half, just passing it off around four people. And that first stage, I was the only person that really could get the timing for tapping the R button in, I think, the second to last area.
Area 9. Oh, you just have to tap it real quick. Just tap.
Yeah, but it's no one else could really get that feeling for it. So it's it got to that, and then I'd lose that feeling, and then I'd get frustrated, and...
The last drop.
Oh, the last drop, I have that shit down now.
Yeah, I've got
it
down now. You have to be real quick about it.
Yeah.
But I must have lost 100 carts at that spot. And I was at the point where I had my finger on the Y button.
Yeah.
So, if I thought the cart was going to bail, I would just hit the Y button and save my life.
Yeah. Lauren and I have done that a lot, where we have the Y button trained, written, ready to go. I mean, Crash Course is fantastic. I really, really like that. As far as the other single-player stuff, I like Balloon Trip Breeze a lot. That's the one that, for the review, I was focusing on that one. And That one's really, really cool. I love Balloon Chirp in general. And I think
the difficulty on that one escalates really, really quickly as you go.
Yeah, I think I've gotten, I think I made it to day three. I think so.
Hey, what happens if you successfully carry the package to the landing zone? I haven't done it yet.
I haven't done that either.
I keep losing it.
What was I going to say? What other single player? Octopus Dance kind of sucks. Takamaru's Ninja Castle was a little better than I thought it would be when I actually played it. Yoshi's Fruit Cart, eh.
Yoshi's Fruit Cart seems like a DS tech demo.
Yeah, it really does. Like, it's novel, but it doesn't last long. It feels like those mini games in Super Mario 64 DS.
And like you said, the fact that you have to start over from the beginning each time.
That sucks.
Like, there should be check marks. Like, every five levels, you should unlock the ability to start from that level, because it is a pain. I mean, who wants to play those first few levels again?
And there's, 51 of them?
Are there really?
I think there's 51 Yoshi levels. So, like, who's going to sit there and do all that crap in one go?
It's for high scores, guys.
If you could start from later on, I could see doing it. But yeah, no one's going to sit and just play the entire way through. That's crazy.
And DK is the same way, where you have to do it all in one go, which is, I think, even more difficult. Though eventually you do kind of get the stages down.
I've gotten it down so I can get through the first two stages relatively easily.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting stuck on the second stage, mainly because, like, I'll get a little bit further and get to an area that I've never been to before, and I'll usually only have, like, a life or two right now.
Have you gotten to the part where it just tells you to be brave on the second stage?
Oh, I love that.
Okay, I didn't know.
Well, they do that on the first stage, too.
Do they?
Yeah, that first jump, it just says be brave right near the end.
But do you know what I mean on the second stage, where you just turn it on the side, inside completely?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that, there's shortcuts in it. Like, you can find secret shortcuts, and there's little secret areas tucked away. I love that about DK Crash Course.
It's so well designed. So I guess, Patrick, do you have any Nintendo Land stories you would like to share?
Well, we already kind of talked about Sweet Day, but today, it was actually just before coming over here to record this, we had three people over, and we just played Animal Crossing Sweet Day for 3 hours straight.
Oh my god, that's insane.
it was a ridiculous amount of fun.
Well, we will be doing that next weekend, sir, because we're doing a live stream. That's going to be great.
Yeah, it's just something about Animal Crossing Sweet Day where you're just like, we just, every single round, we'd swap out the gamepad with another person.
They make it really easy to do that, which is wonderful.
Yes, thankfully. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was actually fun to keep track because we got so good at being the guards almost won every single time. So anytime the villagers would actually collect the candy, it was like a miracle.
Yeah.
And it would just be this loud
cheering. It gets so intense. I had a few where it was just like, you know, one piece of candy needed to be gotten.
Yes.
And it did not happen. It's just like, it's like the thing where it's just like, no, no, dodge the tackle. And there was one time where I actually did dodge the tackle right as one of my teammates was getting a piece of candy.
I love that moment where the guards are chasing the person that, like, they can see the counter down at, like, they only need five more candies.
Yeah.
And they're chasing someone that doesn't have any candy, and they're like, where's the guy with all the candy?
Yep.
Yeah, you have to try and hide at that point.
So, Andy, you, I think, might be the most down on Nintendo Land in this group.
I am still here.
Do tell.
First of all, I haven't had a lot of chances to play it multiplayer. I had a friend over right after I got the system. We had a chance to play it multiplayer for about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, half of which was spent playing multiplayer Zombie U. So we played a couple of rounds of Mario Chase, and then I think a couple of rounds of Luigi's Ghost Mansion, and that was about it.
And with two people, it's not quite enough.
Both of which were, they were enjoyable, I guess, but they weren't, like, tons of fun. Mario
Chase... You really
Chase,
need to have, like, at least three for
the co-op missions work well with two people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mario Chase was fun. We both really got a kick out of that. And then a couple hours later, I had another friend over, and we kind of did the same thing. We actually powered through the first seven or eight stages of Zelda, and played a little bit of Mario Chase, and I think we did one tour, which involved Octopus and Fruit Car and Balloon Trip. I like Zelda Battle Quest. I think that's pretty fun. I think playing as the archer is more fun than playing as the swordsman.
It's kind of funny because I feel it's the other way around. I enjoyed playing the swordsman, and so does everyone that I've been playing with. I usually get stuck with the archer because no one else wants to be the archer.
I just really like the gyro aiming, and the gamepad I think is really fantastic.
It looks really nice. Yeah,
I love that when you're just walking around the like the Nintendo Land Plaza and just moving around the gamepad to change where you look. And just interacting with stuff. I've gotten pretty addicted to the pachinko game with getting prizes.
It's evil.
Yeah. I think as a solo player, there's not a ton in the game that really, like, super appeals to me. DK Crash Course is a lot of fun. I had fun playing that. I tried getting the Master Rank on Zelda with the Archer and was unable to do so after, like, 5 tries. Octopus and Captain Falcon's Twister Course were the 2 I was specifically tasked with playing for review, and neither of those really did anything for me. I think the Octopus one is, I think, by far the worst minigame in the entire game.
Yeah. Captain Falcon wasn't fun for me until I played it with a couple friends, and we would just pass it and take turns, and then it got more fun because when you're watching on the TV, you get to see the person's playing, you get to see their face.
Oh, yeah.
Which this game does in a lot of games.
Yeah,
I love
wonderful.
That. It is brilliant to watch somebody's game face while they play the game. It's so funny. And you forget it's there because the camera blends right into the front of the controller.
I do love that the F-Zero game. I mean, I like the way it kind of displays where like the one person's just using the gamepad, and then it looks like they're really playing F-Zero, like normally. And the way it displays on the TV, like the F-Zero one, I feel like it could have been cooler. But it's fun.
It's okay.
It's just kind of like
it has the same problem where you play it for 15 minutes and you get really far in and then you die.
I got to like area 11 and then I died and I was just like, nope, done.
Not playing that again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. As a single player gamer, I'm not sure there's that much here for me. I'm happy to have it because it gives me a wide variety of things to do on my new system when I don't have a ton of other games. But this is without having people to play it with, this is not a $60 product to me. I'm glad it came with the system, and I'm glad I didn't, like, take a chance on buying it full price, which I wouldn't have done anyway as a primarily a single-player gamer, but I wish I would have more people to play it with. I'm hoping to have the opportunity to do that. I still haven't seen Animal Crossing Sweet Day at all yet, because I haven't had other people to play it with.
Yeah, because you need to have at least 2.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's an okay package. I think it's a lot of fun. I like the Park Plaza and all that. I like the pachinko game.
I like the music a lot.
Music is
the
great.
Box is fun.
I don't like that it explains the rules to every game every single time I go in. That's really irritating. I mean, you can skip it.
Always. I think if all the Miis that are in there have been used before, I think it skips it.
Yeah.
But I've been playing with just my Mii on almost everything.
Weird.
It doesn't re-explain the single-player games to me, or if it does, I can hit the button and skip through it.
I mean, I can hit the button and skip through it, but I have to hit the button and skip through it every single time.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Are you talking about, like, the full tutorial where Molina comes out?
Yes.
Or Monita, or what is it?
Yeah.
Monita.
The full tutorial,
I feel like she's not doing that for me. I feel like she explained everything the first time, and when I go in again, all right.
When I boot up the game, I just have to click the A button to advance to start the game.
The thing that is weird to me about Nintendo Land is this is just a really weird thing, is that after you get all your question mark blocks, which is usually the last thing I want to do, like, I've played a bunch of games, now I'm going to go cash out all my coins, and then I go and open all the boxes, but it doesn't save.
Yeah.
So next time you boot the game up, all those boxes need to be opened again, and it's just like, I just opened 20 boxes.
Yeah.
Like, so what I have to consciously do is...
I realize that there is one of the prizes you get is a button that will box up everything.
Yeah, I've got that button.
So I pressed that button, and then, like, I guess I just, like, kind of tapped it errantly. And was like, what the hell happened? And started opening everything up again, and then I discovered that button later. It was like, oh.
Yeah, but the first... So what you have to consciously do is, like, if you're going to open your boxes last thing, you just have to make sure you, like, go and play a quick game of, like, Balloon Trip or something. Like, whatever the fastest game is, and then just make sure your progress gets saved. Otherwise, you got to open, like, 20 boxes again next time you turn the game on.
I do like how, like, the plaza also does kind of, like, feel like an amusement park as you're walking around it, because it does have that music that is, like, something that I feel like I would hear in a Disney World or a Disneyland, and how, as you go to certain areas of the park, the music just kind of organically shifts.
It's also nice that Miiverse has finally actually populated the plaza.
Patrick, I was looking at you. I was comparing how many stamps we have both gotten and how far we are.
You can click on someone.
Yeah, you can click on people in there, and then, like... you tap them, and then it'll say, like, you know, like, touch, and, like, the meat will be frozen. If you click them again, then you can see, like, their progression through the game.
So it's kind of like a leaderboard, but not really.
Yeah, that's the one thing, is that I do distinctly remember hearing that there would be online leaderboards for this game, and nope.
Yeah, there's not, which is kind of, especially on something like DK or Balloon Trip, where it's like, how quick can you do it, or how far can you get, or something like that. Like, why are there not leaderboards for Zelda Battle Quest solo time attack mode?
Yeah. I mean, you could just screenshot your scores on the Miiverse.
And that's, I guess, what they want you to do, but...
Don't be a dick, Nintendo. Put in leaderboards. Scott, do you have any words about the land of Nintendo?
Well, for the most part, I've just played with two players right now. This weekend, Tabby's friend Teresa and her boyfriend are coming over, so that's when, like, I'm really going to get into, you know, four-player games, which I'm excited about. Because, like we've kind of already talked about, stuff like Luigi's Mansion and Mario Chase are fun, but much better with more people. Obviously.
Yeah, a lot of the games, like Mario, is kind of unbalanced with only, like, two or three people chasing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, and it just, and, like, Luigi's Mansion, like, Monita shows up, and so some, like, AI drones will kind of walk around, but the ghost can't actually harm the AI drones, so, like, it kind of loses appeal, because then you can only go after the one player, and then if that player just hangs out by, like, the other, like, AI drones, it's pretty
much impossible. Well, when they're by the drones, they turn off their flashlight. The drones turn off their flashlight when the other person's by them.
Oh, is that okay to kind of get them to keep walking around?
And sometimes they turn it on, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. It's just, it's not quite as fun in that respect. But what I'm finding is that these single-player games are actually a lot of fun to play with, like, two or three people.
Yeah.
Like you guys are talking about. Like, those games are great to just kind of play, fail at, and then, like, hand it over to the next person to see what they can do. Especially DK's Crash Course. Like, that one is so much fun.
I think Crash Course is kind of the secret best game of Nintendo
it
Land.
It really is.
And it's so weird because it's so simple.
Yeah.
But you know what it does? And the best thing about DK Crash Course is that it uses, like, every single thing on that
it
controller.
Does.
Yeah.
It does.
Every single one. And that's it teaches you how to use every button and everything.
And there's just, it's like, it's kind of unpredictable, you know? Like, even when you get really good at the levels, there's always that time where, like, you're overconfident, and so, like, you release a button just a split second too early, or you kind of, you just screw up, and then so it's a lot of fun in that way.
You instinctively want to try and do it as fast as possible to look cool, I guess. Even when I'm playing by myself, I'm like, I want to try and do this as fast as possible.
Yeah, I
want to
beat the ghost, man.
Yeah, is that little chalk ghost? I love him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I assume
really
that's
great.
My high score run because
it is. I believe it's the most recent, or out of your recent session, it's the high score from that.
Oh, are you sure? I thought it was the overall high. Well,
no,
I guess
it's definitely the session.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because when you start off a new session, there's no ghost.
You know,
it'd
be great
as
if it was one of your friends' ghosts.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Missed opportunity.
But I mean, even that alone is just like a cool touch. But I could see like where Andy's at, where if you're just doing that by yourself, it wouldn't be as engaging. Because even though it's single player, it's still fun to have that competitive edge.
I'm still fortunately in a position where, you know, I have some friends in the area, and you know, but we aren't saddled down with babies like most of you guys.
Right. Yeah, and that makes a big difference. But fortunately, my girlfriend, like, she loves to play games with me, so like, that's not a problem. But yeah, it's harder to get like a group of people over to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna have to do
that
this weekend.
Ironically, you have to get babysitters so you can go play video games.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, and then, well, I was supposed to play a bunch over the weekend, but we went to Tabby's sister's house, and her husband is just, like, super into fantasy football, and this was, like, Sunday, so he just hogged the TV and, like, just watched football by himself.
Well, that's why you have off-TV play.
Yeah, I guess, just hook it up, and just, we could all play in the other room. So yeah, but I'm pretty impressed with the game. I mean, we've talked a little bit about how it's sort of the antithesis of Wii Sports, and I think that's in a few ways. Not only are there more games, but I think it does a lot to push the hardware, even in terms of just, like, graphics and stuff. Like, it's really fun to look at, and all the games are distinct and colorful and really well-designed, I think. And it's
they all have a really cool twist, or not twist, but, like, graphical style. Like, they're all, like, their own little
I love the way the Pikmin thing looks.
Yeah, where it looks like Japanese, like, UFO catcher toys. That's
totally. And then the Ninja Castle game, I don't think it's very fun to play, but I love the look of it. I'm going to mention this in my section of the review, but I totally want to see an HD, like, Kirby's Epic Yarn or Paper Mario kind of in this style, because it's all, like, wood and cardboard and construction
origami
paper.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, it looks so sharp.
That's surprising to me. Sorry, Scott.
No, well, I was just going to say, and then it goes the same way with the music. I love kind of the, like, remixes and, like, new renditions of classic songs. I love going into the Crash Course game and then hearing, you know, that old Donkey Kong music or even the Metroid one. It's really great.
Oh, the Metroid music is fantastic.
I tweeted this earlier today, but that and then the music right now that in Paper Mario Sticker Star really, like, put new Super Mario Brothers U to shame, like, with its music. Because these games, like, I think did a lot of...
Paper Mario music is fantastic.
It is, and then, like, but New Super Mario Bros. U is just so bland and...
It gets a lot better later on, but it still does have that similar theme that's carried throughout the entire series.
Yeah. So...
Like, it's nothing... It is improved as you go through. There are moments where the music is very nice, mm-hmm. but on the whole, it's still nothing to write home about.
Yeah, it's just kind of generic, so... But yeah, I'm thoroughly impressed with Nintendo Land. My question for you guys, though... And I guess I probably know most of your answers at this point, but if you hadn't gotten this game as a pack-in and you had played it and know what you know about it now, would you go out and buy it?
100% yes.
Yeah, I wasn't going to buy it initially or wasn't interested in it, but I was like, well, it comes with the system, so... Yeah. And I actually know. If I had known then what I knew now, I would have bought it, definitely, if I had to.
I would buy it for a reduced price. I would pay $20 for this game.
And that's, you know what, that's exactly what I feel like I did by buying the deluxe set.
Yep. I'm not upset that I have it. I mean, like, it gives me something to do with my system when there's not a lot of other content for me to play. It gives me, you know, something to play around with. But I would not spend $60 on this product unless I had, you know, like, unless I was in, like, a dorm or something where I could just, like, grab three friends.
God, the game makes me wish that I was going to college this year because it's going to be the ultimate dorm game.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I can't wait for PAX East when we get to play this either,
holy
like, at
shit,
PAX
dude.
Or, like, after PAX at, like, Lindemann's house.
We're all going to be there, right?
Oh, I'm not going to make it.
Oh.
Stay tuned.
I mean, that's part of the reason why, I guess everyone will be listening, or will be aware of this. Next Sunday, November 25th, we'll be doing a live stream at my apartment with a bunch of my friends and also nearby NWR staffers. And by nearby NWR staffers, Patrick and possibly David Eagle, one of our programmers, might be making a 2-hour drive to come and be a part of this crazy 5-hour long experiment.
If I was within 2 hours, I'd be there. Scott, you and I should do this one of these days. We're pretty much close enough to get together over a weekend sometime.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. We'll do a Midwest meetup. Nate lives up in Michigan. He could come down.
Yeah.
There you go. We can meet in Chicago.
There you go. We'll rent a kick-ass hotel room.
So, because this is supposed to be for the review, and Mike, you can join in the fun, even if you're a loiterer. what score are we collectively going to give Nintendo Land?
I've been kind of, like, wrestling with this all day, because I knew we were going to be talking about it.
I mean, for me, like, if I was reviewing this by myself, I would probably be somewhere between an 8 and a 9. That would be, because I haven't really thought of it as reviewing it entirely by myself, but if I were, I think that's where I would land.
8.5 is kind of my gut instinct, because there's a whole bunch of good in the game, like between all the multiplayer and DK Crash Course, and then there's also those things that bog it down.
There are a lot of duds. There are too many duds, I feel.
Yeah, I feel the same way as Patrick, right around 8, 8.5.
Like, I can only judge the game based on what I've played, so I'm closer to more like 7. But, I mean, that's incomplete, really. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot of fun when you have 3 people to play with.
I think you can't go any lower than 8, as long as you, you know, unlike Andy, get a chance to play it as it was intended. I would say I'd be happy with 8.5. I could see that. There are some duds, but if you get it under the right conditions, it is a total blast to play.
Now, if those duds weren't there at all, like if there were like 8 attractions, and they just dropped like Octopus Dance and I don't know what else you would drop, but would you think higher of it?
I definitely would.
I would still give it around an 8.5 at that point. I guess basically the way I would review it in my own head is that, well, these games are... throwaway games or throwaway games, I'm only going to judge it on the strength of the games I liked, or games that I would actually play, and at that point I still would think it'd be an 8.5 just because of some of the little things, like why can't I resume my progress in Yoshi's Fruit Cart from like level 20 or something, like that kind of stuff, like why do I have to start at the beginning of the Crash Course every single time, like stuff like that, like
online leaderboards,
things like that, online leaderboards. Yeah. So those are the things that I think really detract from it. I don't think the bad games detract from it. I just ignore them.
The more we talk about it, I think I lean more towards an 8 because there are a lot of things that kind of knock against it. I mean,
it's a bunch of little things.
Like the competitive games are sort of limited. Like Luigi's Mansion is 3 levels. Mario has 3 levels. Or Chase Mario.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not like those are really lacking as much because it's like that, you know, I guess except for Sweet Day because it's like the 2 levels. I mean, they have different layouts, but other than that, they're pretty much.
I think they scale too, depending on how many players you have, which is nice.
But it's just like that. There's, you know, so little levels in those that it does get to a point where it's like you do know the ins and outs, and I guess that's good. And I mean, it's not like the levels kind of grow that old, but at the same time, it just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I guess for me, though, I'd still shoot 8.5 because I think each time you play Nintendo Land, you can have a completely different experience. Like, today I played 45 minutes, and Tabby and I just went back and forth playing Donkey Kong. And, like, yesterday, we played an hour, and we played a bunch of, you know, Mario and Luigi's Mansion. Like, each time you play it, you can get something different out of it. And, like I said, I'm just thoroughly impressed with the presentation of the whole thing. You know, for a launch title.
It does look beautiful.
You know, Nintendo's first foray into HD, it just looks great. And I don't know if you guys talked about it in the other segment when you were talking about system stuff, but I just want to say that I love when you start a game how it kind of goes on that splash screen and then like
it does
the game
look really
starts
nice.
Rather than just
like curtain lifts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Welcome to your game.
I wish more games better utilize that. You know, other games, they'll show that splash screen, but then it will, after loads, just fade to black and then go through the normal progression as if you started it like on a PS3.
Yeah, you just drop right into Nintendo Land. There's no like published by Nintendo, developed by so and so.
I love that. That's so slick.
I think, 8.5 sounds good to me. Andy is silent.
I feel in. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't find the word I'm looking for. I don't feel like I'm able to review this. Yeah, I can't really review the game based on what it's good at. So, I mean, all I can do is judge based on what I played, and what I played is not an 8.5, but it's a primarily multiplayer game, so...
joy has to be mined out of it. Like, it's not easy to get there. It's like Four Swords, you know, like you need all these people, otherwise it's just not fun.
That's a great comparison. It's like Pac-Man Verse.
Andy, I look forward to hearing like your updated impressions once you do get a chance to play with a group of people, because I think your experience will be different.
I think,
Nintendo, please add Pac-Man Versus as a downloadable level for this thing.
No doubt.
But Andy's dilemma does kind of bring one lacking element of the game into the spotlight, and that's no online play.
I mean, I don't think anything would really work well.
I understand.
Like, I don't even think, like, Metroid would really work well.
But
unless you just
it doesn't need to have online play. It can have ghosts from your friends and Miiverse.
Yeah.
That alone would keep me coming back to this game. If I could compete with you guys on your high scores and some of this stuff, like, they could add checkpoints to some of the solo games. They could add online Miiverse ghosts to the game. They could just come into your game, and they would just be there. You wouldn't even have to worry about it. Like, there are ways this could be a better single-player experience than it is. Honestly, you know, it's nice to have a collection of things to do on my brand new system, but it's not a collection that's wowed me so far. I'm happy it's there, but I wish there was more for solo gamers. So
I see that.
So yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I want to detract from you guys giving it an 8.5. I think you guys seem to really, really like it, and based on what you're telling me, you're having an 8.5 kind of experience. And I'm not, but I don't feel like I can counter what you're saying. So I'm perfectly happy to go along with whatever you guys decide. I will say that I really did enjoy Zelda Battle Quest. We played, you know, 2 of us played about 7 or 8 stages of that. It got hard. Got to the point where we were consistently losing 2 to 3 times on every stage before we completed it. It's quite tricky, and I had a good time playing it. I think it's a pretty well constructed little mini game. I wish there was a little more control over your movement, but yeah, for the most part, I think it's a fun game.
That's why you gotta play Metroid. Like, I feel like Metroid's the next step of Battle Quest, where it's like you want full movement, you want full control of what you can do. Like, here you go.
I'm amazed that the Metroid controls for, like, the Wii Remote and Nunchuck have not really been used in another game that I can think of, because they're friggin' awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like I have so much control over the Samus Mii.
Right, like, being able to, like, strafe and look around him and hold A to like, yeah, swing yourself
it's
around.
It's all very, very smooth.
Yeah, I think so too. And the ship control's complicated at first, but once you get a hang of it, like, you feel like a total badass.
The trick is to stand up. You gotta stand up.
Yeah, I think it's the most, it's without a doubt the most complicated thing in the entire game, because it is, I mean, you are ostensibly controlling the ship with three different sticks. Because you're, you know, left stick, right stick,
the only thing that drives me nuts, and this is a major detractor for me, is that you cannot flip the fucking vertical on the ship. Up is up and down is down, and I mess it up every time. Every time I'll be in the middle of a battle and be like, why am I going up? I should be going down. It's so alien to me to not have standard flight controls.
All right. So I think that just about wraps it up, right, guys?
Should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope you enjoy our review, which should be up alongside this. And I hope you enjoyed this, which should be up alongside the review. All
right. There you go.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.